Now, Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
This was about a game where you know who the damn quarterbacks are.
Mark with a C.
Mark James knows how to fill time.
Mark with a C.
Oh, look. No. No. I get this every week. If you need a timeout, come on down and call it. I mean, come on, fellas.
Mark, you sit in your chair and shut up.
Mark James with an M. He's correct.
You're not on it. You're not. You're on it at all.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Hour number four, flying by, 617-779-7937 is the number to get in on this epic four-hour endeavor, known as the Mark James Show. A lot of people calling in. We're talking about the Patriots playoffs, hopes for next weekend, who they should play. Let me give you my bet your kid. Do you have the lock sound, Drew? Do we have the sound of the lock? Because I'm going to give you two locks for this weekend. Do we have the lock sound? No, we don't. Okay. Here's my locks of the weekend. I bet your kids' future college tuition locks of the week. Here they go. Take the Houston Texans at home today, -1, 1.5. I know Indianapolis is red hot. I know they've won 9 out of their last 10. And I know they could easily go on the road and beat Houston. They will not. Houston Texans will win this game, and they will come in here next week, 1 o'clock, to face the New England Patriots. Then, tomorrow, 1 o'clock game, Chargers-Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore won this game a few weeks ago in L.A. They will not win tomorrow. Phillip Rivers and this Chargers team, they are road warriors. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're 7-1 on the road this season or something crazy like that. Take the Chargers. You don't even need the points. You can take them if you have to take them in whatever service you use or whatever, the 2.5, 3, you won't need the points. I went with Chargers on the money line. Boom. There you go. Two, your kids will be going to MIT and Harvard in however when they turn 17, 18, thanks to me. Take the Texans and take the Chargers on the money line. 617-779-7937, Rich in East Bridgewater. Thanks, Rich. What's up?
Hi, Mark. First time. I enjoyed the show.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate that.
I heard the conversation with the bootlicker, Danny, from Quincy about Belichick. A couple of quick facts, and I'll let you go. Jacoby Brissett, you know, he was the quarterback that the Patriots drafted. What quarterback after him was picked?
In 2015, Nick Foles, maybe? No? Who?
Zach Prescott.
Ooh, okay. But nobody knew Dak Prescott. I mean, fair enough, but, I mean, here's the thing.
Just one example.
Right.
The second one was last year when we took offensive linemen with a history of a bad knee, structural bad knee.
No, are you talking about the 2017 draft when they took Antonio Garcia?
No.
Oh.
This last year, the first round pick at the end of the draft, Belichick took the offensive lineman with the bad knee, who was his knee blew out again in training.
Yeah, Isaiah Wynn.
Right. And Lamar Jackson was picked after him.
No, let me do it. Actually, they passed on Lamar Jackson twice. They took Phony Michelle over him too.
Yes, I understand that. But at least Michelle, you know, looked
was
like
on the field.
Might have some value. And then this year also, we got rid of Amendola for the same money that we kept Dwayne Allen. Which one would you rather have coming into next Sunday?
I never understood that at all. I mean, Danny Amendola all the way every day. I never understood that.
Absolutely. Imagine if he was still on the team now, especially with Gordon being gone. At least you'd have a shot, you know, to get into the Super Bowl. And also, Danny blamed Brady in the Miami game. Yeah, did he make a mistake or two? Sure. He had a 5-point lead with 7 seconds to go.
Right.
So, in other words, he had them in position to win the game, but the genius Belichick had Gronkowski on the field and instead of McCourty, let's face it, how do you defend that decision?
No, you don't. The same way you don't defend not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
It's Exactly.
So the thing about Belichick, sometimes, you know what it is? He's the smartest coach of all time. But you know what, Rich? Sometimes his stubbornness makes him stupid.
And also, Mark, one more thing before I go. Think about it. I'm watching the pregame stuff on ABC right now with all the wildcard teams and all the different teams combined. And you're watching defensive players that are fast, powerful. Name me a couple of great defensive players on the Patriots team right now.
You got one great defensive player. It's Stephon Gilmore. That's it.
And do you know why he's doing so well this year? Because the other guys in the secondary are so bad that that's where the quarterbacks and the coaches are aiming at every single game. So there's not that much traffic towards him, even though he's playing well, I agree with you. But think about it. You got the three slowest linebackers in football. You got Flowers. He'll never pay for Flowers to stay here, as you know, like he didn't
No. Trey Flowers is gone. I mean, and Rich, I appreciate the phone call. Trey Flowers, they're not going to pay him the money. No way. Seymour, Will Fork. I mean, you can just go there. It just doesn't happen. I mean, even, you know, offensive guys, Wes Welker, they don't want to pay Danny Amendola an extra $300K. You could have kept him here for nothing. They didn't want to do it. Then you might not have had to gone out and give a fifth-round pick for Josh Gordon if you had Amendola here still. Amendola was huge last year here in New England. He was unreal all season long. That game against Deshaun Watson when the Texans came in and almost beat the Patriots in September of last year. Not September of this year. I'm talking last year. Not the kickoff this season. Last year. Amendola had a huge catch in that game. He was just clutch for this team. And he just looked so bad in turquoise and orange. Ugh. Horrible. 617-779-7937. Jim in a car. What's up, Jim?
Thanks for taking the call. Quick comment about the playoffs, and then I have a comment about the Belichick versus Brady issue on success.
Yes.
Playoffs, I think Houston's going to win.
Yep.
I think Baltimore's
You're smart man. You're a smart man.
I think Baltimore's going to beat the Chargers. Then we're going to beat Baltimore.
By the way, I agree with everything I agree with everything you just said.
All right, well, I got one more thing, see if you agree on this. When everyone calls, they usually fall into two camps. Oh, it's Brady's responsibility for the success of the Patriots, or it's Belichick's responsibility. And they say, well, Belichick didn't win without Brady. I would say it's neither. It's not an either-or. What the Patriots have had for 18 years is the synergy of Brady and Belichick that have both helped each other. If Brady was a quarterback, he's a great quarterback. He's the GOAT. He's the guy I want to be in the game in this playoffs to take the Patriots again to the Super Bowl. I would say this, that if Brady was a quarterback 15 years ago with the Cleveland Browns, he would not have been in 8 Super Bowls. That said, he's phenomenal. He's the reason for Eric's success, as is Belichick. Belichick, people complain about some of his draft choices, but the reality is in the last 16 years, the Patriots have been to 8 Super Bowls. He's made a lot of great drafts, and he's missed some. That's all I have to say. Looking forward to the AFC Championship game at Gillette, and in Brady and Belichick, I still trust.
Very nice, Jim. 617-779-7937. Gooch in a car. What's up, Gooch?
Hey, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Gooch. What do you say, Gooch? Anybody's named Gooch, I like automatically.
You're the best ever created by a man and a woman. Listen to me.
Well, don't overrate me, dude.
Okay. Here's my point. So if anyone listened outside New England to what we were saying right now, they'd say we were crazy because we've just been so dominant for so many years. We're the best. No one's ever going to touch us. I get it. I'm so grateful for what we have and how many Super Bowls we've won. But I'm going to say that Belichick has also, in my opinion, cost us about 4 Super Bowls. I won't even touch the Giants Super Bowls. Maybe he had a hand in losing one of those. Probably not, but I'm going to say half of a Super Bowl there. Last year, 100%, his fault, we lost the Super Bowl. Now, going back to when we dogged on those last two games and we lost home field advantage, and then we had to go to Mile High, play the Broncos, we lost. I think we would have smoked Carolina that year. And then the Colts AFC Championship game. And I'm just giving little examples. The draft picks have been subpar. I mean, Sony Michel, are you kidding me? Calvin Ridley was there. And he might not have been, but I'm just saying, I love Belichick. I love him. But I believe with Brady's talent, we could have won 9 Super Bowls right now. We should have 9 or 10 with a guy like Tom Brady. If you know you have the goal, why are you just stuffing the system with talent year in, year out? You're shorting us. I want to say one quick thing. I think Gronk's going to stuff a Gucci with a Mnuchin this weekend. I mean, next weekend. I really think he's a Red Dead Redemption. I got nothing for my Gooden. I gotta get a Gooden.
Patriots selected 3 picks before the Falcons took Calvin Ridley last year. Took Isaiah Wynn. Couldn't even get on the field this season. 3 picks before. So there's that one, too. I mean, I don't know how good Calvin Ridley will be, but he was damn good in college. And another Alabama guy. They didn't have to trade up like they did for Julio Jones. They got him. It's why do you think the Patriots went through all these receivers in OTAs and training camp and preseason and during the season? Corey Coleman came in, gone. You know, they brought all, you know, Malcolm Mitchell, cut. Jordan Matthews, cut. They had to give up a 5th round to get a guy like Josh Gordon because they didn't do their job in the offseason throughout the previous drafts. They didn't do it. So that's why they had to give up a 5th round pick to take a flight risk like Josh Gordon and a guy who's... Josh Gordon was what he was. You knew he could produce on the field, which he did, and you knew he could potentially have a relapse off the field, which he did. Josh Gordon was what he thought he would be. I don't have any issue with them going after Josh Gordon, but you wouldn't need to give it up a 5th round pick if you had taken care of your business. Like I said, the Patriots' mantra, the new mantra for the New England Patriots should be, do your job on draft day. Do your job on draft day. That's it. They haven't done it. They just haven't done it. Let's go to Buzz in Brockton. What's up,
hey,
Buzz?
Good afternoon. Hey, Buzz. A couple things first. They really missed that linebacker, Bentley. He would have made a huge difference.
Yeah, he looked like he was having a really good preseason. It looked like his trajectory was going to be really good.
Yeah, he went down early, and that kind of hurt. So, anyways, when we find ourselves saying the San Diego Chargers, if you just add on at the end of that, of Los Angeles, I think we'll be all right. So it'll be the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'll always call them San Diego. I don't care.
I'm struggling with it too, but I came up with that from what the Angels are doing. So now getting down to Belichick, if you remember reading Patriot Reign, there was criteria set forth that each player had to meet, and if they didn't meet the criteria, they weren't even considered. So probably wide receivers, being the divas that they are, do not meet the criteria. So if you remember back, Moss, when he came here, he fit in nicely, but when he turned into a diva, he was jettisoned. So I'm thinking that's why they struggle drafting these guys, because they just don't put football first. It's me first, and then everything else comes after that.
So you're saying the receivers don't put football first?
Correct. Right. Oh, they're me first.
Well,
Look at Julio Brown.
Well, hold on. Julio Jones and A.J. Green aren't me first, guys.
Well, they didn't have an opportunity to draft them.
No, I know, but I'm saying that there are guys that you can find. I mean, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Let's go back to the 2015 draft. The Patriots took Jordan Richards, and then 5 picks later, the Seahawks took Tyler Lockett. 7 picks after that, the Chiefs took Chris Conley. You're telling me Tyler Lockett and Chris Conley aren't me first receivers?
Good point. But I'm also not in the room when they're reading the evaluations. I'm not doing them.
Well, maybe what I'm saying is that maybe their evaluation when it comes to skill position players is lacking.
Well, you could say that if you want, but they've been to 8 Super Bowls since, what, 2001. So, you know, I used to think, oh, he traded away Seymour. Oh, my God, what a stupid idiot. Well, you know what? After I said that probably 50 times and I found out that, oh, I was wrong 50 times, what can I do? I got to just wait till time passes and see what comes out at the other end.
Fair enough. The Patriots would be nice as well, as we talk about. Thanks, Buzz. We talk about them not drafting elite weapons at wide receiver. We haven't had a guy that can rush. Yeah, Trey Flowers is pretty good. He's pretty good. But I'm talking about a bona fide edge rusher that can get to the quarterback since Chandler Jones. I'd love to see one of those guys here in New England that you could have that just constantly gets to the quarterback. Kansas City, Chris Jones. I mean, you can see how Aaron Donald, who doesn't even do it from the defensive end position. I'd love to see the Patriots get a 3 or 5 technique tackle that can just completely push the pocket inwards and they can get pressure. When the Patriots have lost in the postseason, like last year, they have lost, and before that to the Giants in the Super Bowl, they have lost because the other teams have gotten consistent pressure with their front four, when not rushing any linebackers or safety blitzes. And now it's incumbent upon Trent Brown in this O-line to keep Brady upright. And they've done a relatively good job for the most part of the season. Trent Brown's had some bonehead penalties. But other than that, I can't really, the O-line's done what they have to keep Brady upright. You have one job, do it. All right, the NFL. Everyone wanted to talk about the demise of the NFL last year. Oh, the ratings were down. Oh, that America is finally turning away from the NFL. And guess what happens? The empire struck back. I'll get to that next, right here on WEI.
This is Mark James on WEI.
Oh, the NFL, no one's watching anymore. Oh, look at the ratings were down last year. Oh, this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? The numbers just came out, folks. NFL viewership in 2018 for all 5 broadcast networks increased from 2017. CBS Afternoon up 6%. Fox Afternoon up 2%. Fox Thursday Night Football up 4%. NBC Sunday Night Football up 6%, and ESPN Monday Night Football, despite that less than stellar announced team with Jason Wooden, who has personality about as much as a doorknob, they're up 8%. NFL games averaged 15.67 million viewers this season, up 5% from 2017. So what did we learn? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we learn that the NFL is king. Always has been, always will be. The demise of the Shield has been greatly exaggerated. How about minutes of 2018 regular season football viewing, NFL and college football combined? Fox, 137.9 billion minutes. CBS, 5.1 billion minutes. NBC, 70.9 billion. ESPN, 65.5 billion. ABC, 34.2 billion. And then there's NFL Network, ESPN2, and FS1. You get the point. NFL rules, folks. NFL rules. The Patriots broadcasts have destroyed anything in this market. The only one week, only one game, the Patriots did not win in the ratings was Game 5 of the Red Sox-Dodgers World Series, which was obviously the clinching game in L.A. But if it wasn't a clinching game, the Patriots probably would have, if the Red Sox weren't in a clinching scenario or about to be eliminated, the Patriots probably would have won that one too. It's the NFL. It's legalized meth. It's legalized crack. And we all can't get enough. 617-779-7937. Do I think that maybe last year the president's comments about the NFL turned some people off of the NFL? Maybe. and he hasn't gone after the league this year. So things have started to turn around, but 2017 was nothing more than an anomaly. It was an aberration, and the NFL is king again. Guess what you're all going to be doing at 4:25, right here on EI, coming up at 4 o'clock, Wild Card Weekend. You're all going to be listening and watching to the games. That's what we do. And the NFL blows everything and everyone else away, whether it's the NBA, whether it's the NHL, or Major League Baseball. You can't come close to it. You just can't. And the Patriots are no exception to that as well. They are the rule. Patriots rule in this town. The Bruins even tweeted out a couple weeks ago at when the Patriots had a 1 o'clock game after the Jets, hey, we know you're going to be watching the Patriots, but come watch us after the Patriots game are over. I mean, you have to just know, you know, this is what rules, not only in New England, but in America. NFL rules, and it always will. It's never going to go down. And I remember the quote that Mark Cuban said about the NFL. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, and one day, not with the NFL, Mark. Sorry, not with the NFL. It's never going to happen. There's no sport, regular season-wise, that gets our attention more than the NFL. Nobody. It's the less is more. There's only 16 games, not 82, not 162. So we get less, but we want it more. There's more of a demand for it than there is a supply of it. And therein lies the difference. Too many regular season NBA games, too many regular season NHL games, and please don't even get me started on baseball. Don't even get me started. 162. Oh boy, they. Wow. It's just too much. It's way too much. I mean, you could literally sleep through the first half of a baseball season, wake up by the All-Star break, and you haven't missed much. You haven't missed anything. You just haven't. But for everybody that thinks that the NFL is going away, not anytime soon. And the second biggest sport in this country in terms of ratings and viewership, college football, next to the NFL. College football beating, regular season-wise, beating the NBA, beating Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball had to move their 8 o'clock Sunday night national televised game of the week on ESPN back an hour because no one's watching at 8 o'clock. Ratings were down. Brought in A-Rod, brought in Matt Vasgersian, ratings went down from when they had Dan Shulman. Ratings went down. NFL, it's just this freight train. It cannot be stopped. The NFL is recession-proof. The NFL, it's like Disney and porn. It's recession-proof. It will never, ever, and last year when people consider it was the ratings were down. And I think a lot of that had to do with the president attacking the product and, you know, what he said about the players and all that and the kneeling. That had a lot to do with it, too. Who's kneeling this year? That wasn't even a story this year. You know what else I thought was going to be a story this year? Was the fact that the NFL were throwing these flags in the preseason on guys for hits that looked normal. Yeah, they've done it a couple times this year. I think Clay Matthews has gotten hit with some unnecessary flagrant hits. But other than that, no. The NFL understands the product. They know what the fans want, and they're giving it to us every week. And Wild Card Weekend will reign supreme when the ratings come out. The overnights come out on Monday morning. That's what the NFL does. And I love it. I can't get enough of it. This weekend and next weekend are the two best weekends for true, real football fans. I hate Super Bowl weekend. I hate it. I detest Super Bowl weekend like a freaking disease. You know why? Because you got a bunch of fake, superficial, artificial sports people who just show up to Super Bowl parties because it's a social event. I can't stand Super Bowl weekend. I think it's the worst day in sports every year. I hate it. I'm with Chris Russo on this, and I loved when I heard Mad Dog say this. He will not watch football he will never go to a Super Bowl party, will not watch football with a bunch of people because he doesn't feel as though that they are worthy watching a football game with him. Chris, I feel the same way. I got to tell you, I was in a suite with a bunch of very attractive women in the 2013 Florida-Miami game down in Miami. The Gators, Jeff Driscoll versus the Miami Hurricanes. And things were going our way for a little bit, and things started to not go our way. And I was invited in this booth by some big-time Golden Canes and donors who donate a lot of money to the U every year. And I started, you know, dropping some French language. And a lot of these very attractive girls that were in there were looking at me different. And I said to my friend, I said, listen, you invited me here. It's an honor for them to get to watch a Miami Hurricanes game with me than it is for me to be in a booth with them. And if they are real fans, they would understand this is what I do and this is what we do during football games. We swear. And if you don't like it, leave. I don't care. You invited me here. You're like, no, it's cool. This is what we do. It's football. We get animated. We get colorful. We start dropping some profane language that we never say on the air. But, yeah. And Chris Russo's right. Like, it's an honor to watch the Super Bowl at Chris Russo. He doesn't want to taint that with a bunch of people who just show up to a Super Bowl party for the commercials. And that's what Super Bowl parties are. It's an unofficial American holiday that sucks. It sucks. I really wish they could abolish it. But it is what it is. It's more about the red carpet. It's more about the Super Bowl party. I would never go to a Super Bowl party. Ever. I'd rather watch it by myself eating a pizza with nobody else around. So nobody to bother me. And people on their phones texting and posting crap on Instagram. I hate Super Bowl Sunday. I hate it. It's for fake sports fans. Plain and simple. Oh, and I don't mind saying it. The games themselves, fine. I don't like all the extraneous crap that comes along with it. But I love the NFL. Sharon in Ipswich. Hello, Sharon.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Go ahead, Sharon. You're on the air.
Well, I disagree that the professional football is bigger than college football because I had a very enlightening visit down to Atlanta. And in living other places, it just seems like college football is really big. And I felt like an idiot when I was down there and I didn't even know a college team to name that was big up here.
No, because there are no good college teams up here.
Yeah.
I mean, there are none. I'm sorry. With all due respect to Boston College, I know Syracuse had a decent year or whatever, but like really in terms of competing with schools like Clemson and Alabama and Oklahoma, Ohio State, there are no good teams up here. I mean, BC got game day. I don't know how that happened. And then they got their asses kicked by 20 points. They got killed by Clemson. It's like, this is big boy football. You're not ready. Go back to, you know, just go back to concentrating on NC State.
Yeah, I just think college football is bigger because, I mean, the Southern
it's not
huge.
Bigger nationally, Sharon, but it's bigger in the South than the NFL is. Like, in Atlanta, the Georgia Bulldogs are bigger than the Atlanta Falcons. They are. More people would rather see the Georgia Bulldogs win a national title than watch the Atlanta Falcons win their first Super Bowl. That's just the way it is. Down South, I've lived down there. Down South, college football is bigger. It is bigger. It is. They do love the Dolphins in Miami, but they love the Hurricanes more. I don't know. Miami's a market you can't really judge because the Hurricanes have been more successful down there than the Dolphins have been over the course of the last 30 years. So, you know, there's a higher level of standard when it comes to the U than the Dolphins. The Dolphins haven't won anything since Bob Greasy was the quarterback in like 72 and 73. So there's that. But no, the NFL is king. It will always rule. But it tells you, for people who want to talk trash about the NFL, that here they are, ratings up on every network, numero uno, even ESPN Monday Night Football. I mean, and I like Sean McDonough and John Gruden, even though I didn't think they had any chemistry, but with Jason Wooden and Joe Tess, who thinks he's like this, you know, honorary member of the Rat Pack, they're up. I don't know how they are, but they are. All right, final segment next. I'll get to your phone calls and we'll get some Celtics thoughts in here as well. And also, final thoughts on what you want for the Patriots, what you're looking for this weekend, who you want to see come in here a week from tomorrow to face the Patriots. Is it the Texans, the Ravens, or the Chargers? 617-779-7937. My confidence level, I'm not changing, for the Patriots to get back to the Super Bowl is at a 6. It's the reason why no team in 25 years has made it back to the Super Bowl after losing in the Super Bowl the year prior to that. That was the Buffalo Bills in 93. That's why I don't think the Patriots are getting back there. I'll get your final calls, final segment next.
This is Mark James on WEEI.
Oh, I can't believe 3 hours and 47 minutes. It's what we do. Mark James here with you. Drew Johnson producing. Excellent job as always. Also want to say this too. After nearly 200 years, Durgan Park at Faneuil Hall will be closing their doors next weekend, January 12th. And that's a week from today. It's nearly 200 years that restaurant's been there. Tremendous prime rib. A lot of great stuff. I guess what it comes down to is just that probably the cost to operate at a place like Faneuil Hall Marketplace is just too much, and they obviously weren't getting a return on their investment. But nearly 200 years. I hope somebody can save them at the last minute, because you hate to see an establishment in an institution that is part of the fabric of this great city go away after two centuries. Durgan Park, man. Ah. Sucks, but it's supposedly closing its doors next Saturday. So if you get a chance to go out there, I mean, here's the thing about Faneuil Hall. It's like when friends who come in town that are not from New England, they've never been here before, it's a touristy spot, but I don't know anybody that even goes down to there or Quincy Market on the regular. I don't know anybody who does that. So I guess I just, after 200 years for them to close their doors, man, that sucks. 617-779-7937. I will take your phone calls. We're going to have NFL football, so this is your last chance to get in. I believe, do we have any more local shows the rest of today, Drew? No. So if you want to get in on EI, you got about like literally 7 minutes to do it from now until tomorrow. Am I right on that? Okay. Sam in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Sam.
How are you?
Hey, good, Sam. How are you?
I'm good. So, I'm good. Return the ring, get down. So, my thing was, you were complaining about, you know, why don't we have a pass rusher like Aaron Donald, and then the whole wide receiver drama and stuff. So, my thing about it was, well, if we had Aaron Donald, he's, what, $120 million for...
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
So, you know, it's the whole cap space. And same thing with wide receiver. Julio Jones did sit out, I think, some of preseason or training camp.
He did. Yep. So, well, he had just gotten a new deal, Sam, a couple years ago, and then some Antonio Brown got a new deal, so he wanted a new deal to his deal that he just signed a couple. You know, that's what they do.
Oh, yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Odell, Julio. Yeah.
Right.
Brown. Everybody. Right.
You watch that freaking overrated prima donna Odell Beckham Jr. OBJ. You watch in 2 years when some of these receivers are out there and they're looking for new deals. You watch OBJ. He's going to bitch, moan, and complain to the Giants that his deal isn't good enough. You watch.
Absolutely. No, and I'm with you 100% on that. I just think that we wouldn't be where we are. And obviously, I would love, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, I would love to be able to have a Randy Moss back on our team. But every year I do fantasy, you know, you either get Brady or Gronk, and that's about it. You're not going to pick the running backs because they, you know, they split the backs. You might get Edelman, but, you know, he gets catches. He doesn't really get touchdowns. And so, but at the end of the day, it's all the cap and, you know, and how to spend it. And I think Belichick has done a good job over the last, let's say, 12 years, because, you know, the first.
Well, listen, I will never criticize Belichick when it comes to cap. I will never do that. And you know, he's been able to get Tom Brady to stay here for much less value than he's worth. Much less. Okay?
Absolutely.
So I will never, ever criticize Belichick. In order for this whole thing that has been a continuum since 2000, it only worked because Tom Brady was willing to take less, willing to restructure his deal to take less, to bring in Randy Moss and then Dante Stallworth and then keep Gronk here. Brady's always willing to do what's best for the greater good of the team and the franchise. He's always willing to do that. So I cannot reiterate that enough. I just think that if Brady's willing to do that, Belichick needs to do a better job in the draft evaluating talent. Even if they're only going to be here for 3 to 4 years, that's fine. I'll take 4 years of Tyreek Hill. I'll take 4 years of Travis Kelce over freaking Aaron Dobson. And people can say, well, they had Gronk. Well, they had a tight end who was being charged with multiple homicides. So I would think Travis Kelce right there might not have been a bad pick.
No, you're absolutely right. I think I'm with you in the mindset of let's front load right now. Let's go for it. You know, Brady's got, I think he has 2 years left. You know, who knows? I think he could win a Super Bowl this year and be done.
But Sam, here's the thing, what it comes down to. It comes down to Belichick trying to find the next Alvin Kamara in the second or third round, trying to find the next Michael Thomas, trying to find the next Keenan Allen in the third round, and he hasn't or doesn't want to do that. He's at a premium when it comes to drafting defensive players. He's done a great job doing that for the most part. This side of Malcolm Brown, he's done that getting guys like Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, Dante Hightower, Trey Flowers. Cannot say enough about that. I can't sing his praises enough. But it comes to getting the guys that Tom Brady can throw the ball to or he can give the ball to. Do you have any idea how many more years that Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas are going to give Drew Brees in New Orleans just by their presence alone? Drew Brees will probably play till he's 45 years old. He probably will do it. All right, thanks to Drew Johnson for doing a great job producing the show. Thanks to everybody who called, everybody who listened. Stay tuned. Pregame, Westwood One, Colts, Texans. Remember, my bet your kids' future college tuition picks of the week. Take the Texans -1, 1.5. And take the Chargers tomorrow on the money line. Thank me next week. I'll see you then. Mark C.